Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Y'all know I am crunchy mama to the max, but when it comes to seasonal allergies, I don't play. I can't afford to. Y'all, I've had the worst seasonal allergies my entire life. I have missed out on so much of the spring because I've had to stay inside while people are outside having fun. I've gone on these amazing retreats and literally just looked out the window watching people have the most amazing time. Because my allergies can't do it. I am straight up, I just can't do it. My eyes get itchy and red and watery. I can't keep makeup on. My nose drips. My throat gets clogged up. And I'm telling y'all, my face swells. It gets itchy. I really, really need support and help when it comes to seasonal allergies. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. I am pregnant right now, so I'm not able to take it. So please, you guys, if you have seasonal allergies, for my sake, go get some and experience what it's like to breathe a little bit. I've taken Claritin D for so much of my life. When I'm not pregnant, I do take it. It's so, so helpful. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
It's not often rejection, it's just removal.
One of my mentors told me he just defined faithfulness as doing the best you can with what you have.
We'll never regret faithfulness.
This evening we're joined by two of my friends, Nicoletta Bradley and Laura Eldridge. And guys, they are so excited to be here, like bursting at the seams, excited to be with you guys tonight. And as I was praying, as I often do for the girls on this campus and just college girls in our country, man, there's a few things that I pray for you guys. And one of them is just that you wouldn't culturally or nominally or socially follow Jesus, but that you would radically follow Jesus, because he's worth following with our entire lives. He is worth it. And so these two friends that are with us this evening are just two people that came to mind that live that out day in and day out. They are zealous and passionate about the Lord and for college girls following him. And they are just wise in their faith and courageous in how they share with others. And so will you guys just welcome them this evening? Sweet. Well, you guys have this fun little thing that you get to do together. And so will you guys just share a little bit about the heart behind y'all's podcast, a little about who you are?
I want to start by saying something really, really just like just level the playing field wherever y'all are coming in. I got a little bit of a pregnant belly. And for some reason, my jeans, like right before I walked up here, I'm like, oh, I think I might need to unbutton these. So I know that's really silly, but like whatever distractions you're coming in with, like I know y'all are thinking about exams, y'all are thinking about whatever guy has left you unread, like I know, trust me, Nico is too, I'm just kidding.
No, for real though.
we get that, and like we want to take a second to just be like, this is a place where you can bring that, you know, you can just bring it and be right where you are and set it aside for a second, because we think God has something incredible for you. And I think I was sitting there as the girls were leading us in that amazing worship and just like, why us? Like, why are we here, you know? And then it was just like this reminder of like, why not you? Why not us? Why not you sitting in this room? God brought you from whatever family drama you're having right now, from whatever roommate drama you're having right now, from whatever situation that you're just sitting in that feels so hard. And, you know, it's more than just your belly is popping out of your jeans. Like, it's real, real stuff. And, like, why not you? The Lord went out of his way to bring you here, to sit you in these chairs, to say, I have designed you so intentionally and given you so much purpose. Like, why not you? And I think our prayer for tonight is like, okay, why not y'all? Why not y'all be the ones to go out and change the world, because the gospel has changed you? And we believe in you so, so much. So just had to start there. We believe in y'all. We're so thankful to be here with you.
I mean, should we just end there? Or, I mean, I feel like that was a pretty good intro. I mean, granted, that was awesome. I think so. To answer your question, though, yes, we are a part of a podcast that me and Laura started called Call Her Holy. And if you've never heard of it, yes, it is a spinoff of Call Her Daddy. And that was intentional. That is because we believe that we are girl talk without the bad advice. I feel like your spiel on like Call Her Holy, the name, you're so good at it. But it's literally going, here's the number one podcast in the entire country, which is Call Her Daddy. And here's the real talk. It's giving you terrible advice. And so,
and it's so good. Like, it's straight up, like, she's funny. Don't go listen to it.
It's entertaining.
It's entertaining. It's so entertaining. So our vision for this podcast was just like, let's create a space where girls can have all that relationship chat, like where girls can have a space to talk about all those things that you're not going to hear on a Sunday. And we can talk about it from a biblical perspective, because the Bible actually does have a lot to say about it. I mean, open the book of Proverbs and you're going to find things to apply to dating, you know? That the world isn't going to tell you, but you want to know about it.
Yeah, spot on.
Yeah, that's great. I don't have older sisters. Didn't grow up with sisters. And so that's kind of the vision for tonight is, like, I don't know about you. I don't have older sisters. And so we just get to have a conversation with you guys who are faithfully walking with the Lord and who've done it imperfectly and have stories to share, but also who can testify just to his goodness and kindness in your lives. And so, Laura, you're actually a Baylor Bear.
Sick 'em.
And you have walked this campus. You have lived this life. And so would you mind just sharing a little bit of your story and your time at Baylor and just what God has done in your life?
Yeah, thanks, Anna. Thanks for having us. I loved the Lord radically, so passionately. I came to know Jesus when I was 12, like truly believed Jesus died on the cross and was raised to life again. And because of that, I can have salvation by just saying, like, God, I confess I'm a sinner and I have nothing good to bring to the table. You are it. I believed that wholeheartedly. And I kind of grew up quickly being thrown into leadership positions. And I'm about to get real fast. So just hold on to your chairs.
Struggled with or your unbuttoned pants, either one.
I'm about to unbutton mine out here right now, y'all. No, I grew up being thrown into leadership positions without understanding what it means to really walk in community. And I know a lot of y'all are like, oh yeah, I have community. No, I mean community. I mean like confessing sin. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you can be healed. So I didn't really have this understanding of knowing that's where freedom comes from, like confessing sin to other followers of Jesus. And so kind of the things that captured my heart alongside Jesus were fame. I had this music career that I chased for 12 years, traveled and played country music. And it was just like, you know, when my dad kicked me out in high school, it was just like not a real kick out. When my dad kicked me out in high school, I'm like, I just need my guitar and my Bible and I'm good to go. So I had fame was like this idol that I had. And then it was also boys, which led to a lot of chaos in my life. And meanwhile, I'm in these leadership positions serving in the church, but I had this hidden sin of masturbation. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know, like, is this wrong? Is it not? I just knew that I felt a ton of shame afterwards, but I craved it. I needed it. And so I didn't have a space or the maturity to know, like, oh, I need to actually talk to somebody about that. So anyways, flash forward, I come into college still without an understanding of godly community and start to like, oh, actually, I don't really want to lead worship anymore because I don't want the responsibility of that. Like, I just kind of want to do what I want to do. And, oh, I'm going to go to the parties, but I'm not really going to drink. Like, I still love God and I'm still going to do this. And then Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. And so I suffered harm because I surrounded myself kind of like the good girl of the bad crowd and the bad girl of the good crowd. And I just was one foot in and one foot out. Again, I loved God. But then little by little, it's like, okay, getting drunk is actually not that bad. It's not that bad. And then it was like, oh, okay, flash forward to senior year. Now I've got a DUI under my belt. I've lost my job as a CL from drinking and lying about it. And I'd gotten like the number one interview. Like I just had this heightened sense. Anyways, like lost a job for drinking and lying about it. And then now I've got a DUI under my belt. Now I'm going into senior year dating a non-believer who cheats on me. And I let that like I spiral and start just hooking up with whoever I want to. Again, all this is while I love God, but just missed what it meant to like proactively confess sin, proactively like deal with my hurt and emotions in a way that was healthy. I just kind of coped instead because that's a lot easier. And so looking back at Baylor, I had a ton of fun, but years later, like it took me years to work through the scars and the wounds that I was racking up in the name of having a good time or just having fun. And so if you're the girl like me who's sitting here like, yeah, I'm kind of doing some of those things, you are safe here. This is a great place to start. And the gospel is not clean up and come in. The gospel is come as you are and let Jesus clean you up. And know that you do not have to be perfect, that his perfection is what comes and meets you in your brokenness and says, I have something wild for you. Anyways, flash forward. I didn't know that I was missing this life of radical obedience. I didn't know that I was missing joy without getting the attention from the guy that I liked. I didn't know that I could have peace without turning heads. I didn't know that God had a purpose for me, that he was waiting to use me in ministry, just waiting till I was ready to go all in. So flash forward, I like ended up giving up three things in a season, which was my career in music, like stopped touring, canceled my second album, was just like, I'm done. Stopped dating for a season and stopped drinking. And it was in that season where I was like, Lord, there really is nothing else worth pursuing over you. That's when God really captured my heart. And I got to, haven't looked back a second since. So that was a decade ago. I'm now married and have one little girl who's two. Her name's Oakley, and I have another little baby on the way.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Laura, and just, I mean, for your honesty throughout that whole story. And I loved what you just said of I tried to be the good girl of the bad crowd and the bad girl of the good crowd. And could you just tell us a little bit more about that time in your life when you're straddling the fence, and did that leave you satisfied, or what did you learn like as you lived that season?
I was pretty like ignorant to how harmful that is. Like I just kind of can I do something like really real? Can I, and y'all can close your like close your eyes. We're about to have one of those church camp moments. Everybody close your eyes. And like if you would resonate with like, hey, there are some huge things in my life that I'm actually like, I know this doesn't please God, but like it doesn't feel that bad, or I know I need to give it up, but I just haven't yet. Will you raise your hand? Okay, I love it. God bless you. Okay, y'all can open your eyes. Just so you know, it was a lot of you. It was a lot of you. So you're like not... You're not alone. It's not just you. You're not sitting in a bunch of rows of girls who aren't struggling with the same things you're struggling with. Like a lot of them probably are. One of the biggest things that I like have learned in confessing sin is that the worst thing you think is going to happen is that like people will reject you. People will think like, ew, why is she here? And what I found actually happens is one by one, girls start raising their hand and saying, me too. Oh my gosh, thank you for your courage in sharing that. Me too. Can we all decide how to get free together? So anyways, straddling the fence, like I was doing the whole, I went to Highland for a little bit. I went to Antioch for a little bit. And then some days I would just go to Penland hungover. You know, you just kind of put your church clothes on and pretend like you went to church. And go to Penland. And again, like, I didn't know what I was missing out on. And I really wish somebody would have taken me by the shoulders and shook me and said, Laura, 5 years from now, you will thank me. Just don't go to the places that you think you need to be. Like, you actually don't need to go to that Fiji party. Like, you actually have no business being there. There actually are really fun, godly people. The Kool-Aid parties were happening. Is that still a thing? Oh, Red Bull parties.
Red Bull
that
now.
Was so much fun. Yeah, I was like going to those, but again, I was like, yeah, I'm going to the Fiji party after, or like the KOT party after. And I just am like, oh my gosh, I missed out on so much. And I think some of it was just like, I had no clue what I was worth. And I had no clue what my life was worth. And had I had this picture of like, wait a second, Jesus died for me. Like, straight up, wait a second. Every single day has a purpose. And I think that college is just this time to find myself and have fun and make memories. When there are people like Dale Wallace who literally like spent his college days faithful, and he was in a much different spot when we went into this like ministry program. I was insecure. My world was like crumbling, and I felt so much shame. I had so much baggage to deal with, and he was free. And this was in our 20s because of decisions, the different decisions we made in college, because he chose to be faithful. And I chose myself. And so, anyways, I would say that God really does have more for you. Like, and today can be the day that things change. And it might mean changing some of the people that you hang out with, which I know we're starting off, like, making a really big ask. But that might mean changing the people you hang out with. And I would tell you this. You will never regret faithfulness. But you might regret not choosing faithfulness. And you probably will. If you end up following Jesus later in life.
That's so good. One of my mentors told me he just defined faithfulness as doing the best you can with what you have. Faithfulness is doing the best you can with what you have, and that's how we define success. We don't define success by performance or achievements or accolade. We define success by us faithfully following Jesus every day. Can you just share a little bit of why, like, you talked about, hey, there was this season, I gave these three things, and I decided I was going to radically, obediently follow Jesus. Can you just talk about, like, how that is worth it, why that's worth it, what you found in the years that you've done that faithfully?
Thanks. Yeah, I think some of it was, like, when I really started to see a vision of what it looks like to follow Jesus, like, my eyes were a little bit open to, like, there's something else. And I think for you guys, like, there's a version of Christianity that you see around here, and hopefully you see something different here at Vertical, but there's a, and at your churches, there's a version of Christianity you see where everyone's kind of like, we party, and then we go to church. That's just what we do. And everyone's kind of dead in sin. The scriptures compare the difference of being dead in sin or alive to Christ. And it looks weird to not be. I forgot your question.
You're going on a good track. because one of the things that as I talk to you guys and as I meet you guys, you're like, if you were at FM72, we talked about tolerating sin and how there's a difference between grace and tolerance. And in our cultural Christianity, we can tolerate sin and just say, hey, if we both go to the party and drink together, it's somehow like two wrongs equal a right. That if we do it together, then somehow it makes it.
You at least feel better about yourself.
Yeah, you're like, we're in it together. And yeah. So like, if I'm gossiping with the girl in my community group, then maybe it's not actually gossip. Or if I'm drinking with my accountability partner, then maybe we're not actually getting drunk. And so can you just talk about, like, man, as you chose to not tolerate sin in your life and as you radically followed him, like, why is it worth it to do that?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I would say there are seasons where I followed the crowd and seasons where I stood out from the crowd. And the moments that defined my faith were the moments that I stood out from the crowd. And I would tell you that every single one of you can do that. And I remember even going into my young adult years where, like, I had just gotten this picture of faithfulness by starting to get in the word every day. And then I'm seeing other people around me make choices that I know are destructive. And I think we can often in the church do two things. Why do they get to have fun and I don't? Or it's like, we look down on them. Why would the, and kind of like what you were tipping your hat to of like, we don't have compassion for the sinner and like become a, so I want to give permission to have a safe place for sinners where you're like, hey, I can still hang out and like bring people in without being like, why would you do that? Like, why would you have sex with him? Like, let's just talk about it. You know, let's talk about it. Let's talk about those choices and talk about something better. Cause guess what? I might not have done that, but I've done other things. Anyways, so Wow. My pregnancy brain is like full force right now.
That's great. No, I loved what you shared. I told you guys earlier that my mission statement in ministry is for you guys to know that following Jesus is worth it and that it can be a ton of fun, that he's not trying to rip you off. He's trying to set you free. And as you walk in the freedom that exists in Christ, like, you will have more fun than you've ever had in your eternal life, or in your life, because there's something different between momentary fun and eternal joy. And that's what we get when we radically follow Jesus with our lives. And you shared some of, like, hey, I tried and I tested the cautions and the warnings of Scripture, and I have scars, and I have things that it took years for me to heal from, and decades. And I'm sure even being on this campus today, like, brought that up again. But you can also confidently sit here and say, like, I've tested the promises of Scripture, and I've seen them lead to peace and joy and freedom in my life.
And I think there's just, like, I think we sit from this place of thinking that God is, like, a God who's just gets mad at us all the time. And we can be like, hey, I've run from you, or I've, like, moved further away, or I've started doing things, and surely he doesn't want me now. And nothing could be farther from the truth. Like, if you open the Scriptures, Psalm 145 talks about how he showers his compassion on you. And just knowing, like, God is a God who says, I choose you, even though I already knew what you were going to do. I know what you thought about this morning. I know who you put down today. I know everything that you've done, and I chose you, not because you're perfect, but because I see purpose in you. Because I sent Jesus to trade out his righteousness for yours. And I have a plan for your life that is amazing, that is so good. And I look back at the girl who had so much fun and racked up wounds, and I'm like, I'm not going to lie to you and say that sin is not fun. It is. It's so much fun. It's just that following Jesus is better. You will not regret following Jesus radically. Look different. Be courageous. Be the one who makes a radical change that makes your friends go, whoa. And those are the moments in my life where I'm like, praise God. And now I look back and I kind of feel sad for the girl who was getting drunk and hooking up, honestly, because it came from a place of not really knowing how much I was worth. It came from a place of missing out on something, missing out on where true life actually is found, which is in full devotion to Jesus.
Yeah, that's great. Nico, we haven't forgot about you. We just made her go second because she did go to another school in Texas,
a little bit north of here. Freaking Frogs. Let's do this. Okay, so, also, y'all, you don't hate TCU as much as TCU hates Baylor. I'm going to say it.
I don't know.
I feel like the rivalry has, like, decreased over
on
the
your
years.
End. Yeah. On your end.
Yeah. And it's still, only increased for
we
you guys.
Always increase. TCU hates Baylor. But Baylor's like, TCU, we're chilling. And we're like, we hate Baylor. And so
we're like, we're not threatened by y'all.
You're like, we've moved on. And you're like, no, this is still a lie.
This is still a thing.
Like a bitter ex, you know?
I had a twin brother, and he actually went to TCU. I went to Baylor.
He
went
Come
to TCU.
On.
We are not from Texas, but somehow picked a state. We both went to the same state and chose rival schools. He did transfer to Baylor three semesters
cool.
He saw the light. Yes.
Okay.
I convinced him. But, Nika, will you just share a little bit of your story and your experience in college?
Wait, all these girls are like, wait, does your brother know Jesus and is he single?
Well, my brother is quite a bit older than you guys.
Okay,
so
okay.
I'm older than you guys, but not that much older.
Is he too old for me? I'm just kidding. Too soon. Okay, the cool thing about me and Laura's dynamic is she's married with a baby, and I'm I'm single and thriving. I'm also 31, y'all's worst nightmare of being single. You're like, Lord Jesus, I am begging you, do not let her story be my story.
This is my worst nightmare. No, you're like, literally. I'm fine being single until I'm 30, and then after that,
but
I don't know
God
what's going to happen on
if
the other side.
If I am still single at 30, God is cruel. But no, you're going to hear my story, and then you'll see it a little bit, but on the for real, though, I was this close to going to Baylor. I went to, I, like, toured, and I was like, this is my school. And then I went to a frat party at TCU, and I said, actually, that's my school. And that's why I chose TCU. So a little bit about me. I'm from Santa Barbara, California. Any California girlies in the house? Hey-o!
So many Californians at Baylor.
No, all the Californians, they head straight to Texas.
And now they're going to Tennessee, so that's we're just fair. Invading. That's fair. The South.
They're moving around. So Santa Barbara, California, grew up in a Christian home, all the good things. My background is a really bad eating disorder. So third grade, looked in the mirror and was like, dang, this is the reason that people don't like me. I went to a really small Christian private school, and I was like, the reason the 12 kids in my class don't like me, it must be because of my body. And so at a young age, I just believed if I'm thin, I'm loved, and if I'm not thin, I'm unlovable. Went to high school, and I was like, I will do whatever I need to do to be the most popular girl in school, which then made me drink, all the boys, all the things. Junior year of high school, a guy verbalized the lies that I'd believed my whole life, and it was, if you were just thinner, you'd be hotter. And I said, great, I will hire a personal trainer, and I will prove you wrong. And lost a lot of weight, and I got the approval that I wanted. All the guys that never looked in my direction all of a sudden wanted to date me. But here's the thing, they never wanted to date Nicoletta. They wanted to date the body that I got from running 6 miles a day and barely eating anything. And so then I realized, well, if I'm working out and eating healthy and all these people approve of me, what if I just don't eat anything? Which then turned to anorexia, turned into bulimia, went to TCU, and turned into a binge eating disorder where I gained 30 pounds in the first 3 months of college, slipped into depression and suicidal thoughts. And I remember I heard the audible voice of God go, you will go through every type of eating disorder because one day you will help every type of girl. And I had no idea what that meant. But I knew, if God, you're going to somehow do this, if you're going to somehow make this work, I'm going to trust you. And so college was a lot of choosing Jesus because I thought he was going to make me skinny, which didn't really happen. I was in eating disorder counseling. Has anyone like prayed that? Like, Lord, I am begging you. Cure my whatever. But that was me. Went to TCU and was really one foot in, one foot out for most of it. Graduated college, and the Lord in his kindness, I immediately entered into the fitness industry because I was like, I want to help girls not believe the lies I've believed my whole life. And the lie was always, if I was thin, I am loved. And if I'm not, I'm just unlovable. Got plugged in my church, and that was the first time that I really dove into my faith. I met the love of my life, I thought, and we dated for 2 years. We got engaged, and when I say it was the bachelor, it was the bachelor, my friends. Like, it was the proposal of the century. People, like, when you see how many people sent that Instagram post, like, it was unmatched. And he was the most attractive man I had ever met in my entire life. But he was not who the Lord had for me. But I was too insecure, because I couldn't believe someone that looked like him would choose someone who looked like me. And I remember we were planning a wedding. We had been dating for 2 years. And I knew it wasn't it. And I remember hearing God say, by faith, I'm asking you to walk away. And at 28, I pulled off a ring off my finger. And the Lord landed me in seminary. We met in premarital counseling. That's how we met.
With different guys. I wasn't dating
different guys. Different
either.
Guys. Yeah.
We both had some heartbreak. Yeah.
And I remember calling off a ring and taking the ring off. And I said, God, if you're going to remove the one thing I want more than anything, why would I not give you everything I have? And I went to seminary, moved to Dallas, and graduated. And that is where the Lord, in the last year and a half, I've launched a fitness, faith, and body image nonprofit called Noble. And it is all around, hey, I want you to come work out with me. And then we're going to sit in a circle and we're going to talk about what the Bible has to say about our body, our relationship with food and fitness and your identity. And now we are going into the fitness retreat model. So if you don't have plans for fall break, follow me on Instagram because we are renting out a beautiful retreat center here in Waco, actually. We're going to have speakers, workouts, healthy food, all the things. Would love for you to come. But my biggest passion in life is, man, I've actually gotten everything the world tells you will satisfy. I got the thin body. I got the fiance that I thought was the most attractive man I'd ever seen. I got the popularity. I got the drugs. I got the alcohol. And I was depressed. And now I'm 31 and single, y'all's worst nightmare. In a body that is not as thin as it used to be. And I've never been more joyful in my entire life. Because I trust God. but it's also come from a place of I've tried everything that a lot of you are chasing after, going, man, if I just lost a few more pounds, if I just got his attention, if I just got the grades, if I just got the success, it'll be worth it. And I'm like, no, 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 man, because I had all the things, and it literally did not work.
That's so good. Both of your stories just remind me of Matthew 16, which just says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? And both of you at the time, like, had the whole world. Like, you had the music career, you had the fame, you had the popularity, you had the engagements, and you had nothing at the same time. And you both just lived out that verse of when I said, hey, I'm following you, when I'm picking up my cross, when I'm denying everything else, like that is when I found what life is worth living. And that is just a testament to who the Lord is and what our lives can be. And Nicoletta, I've heard you say before, like, hey, porn is to men as body image is to woman. And that's not to say that either of those groups can't struggle with the other thing. Like, I know there's a lot of girls in this room who struggle with sexual sin, myself included. Lord, like, we're not above that. And there's plenty of men out there who struggle with body image. That is not what we're saying. But it is, like, hey, if we were to look at the statistics, like, this is just something where the enemy, like, has a chokehold on girls and where a lot of us, like, just feel stuck. And so will you just share, like, some of the things that you share with those girls as you're sitting in that circle about, like, hey, how does God view them and, like, how do we navigate this conversation about body image?
Yeah, can y'all, like, relate to body image being such a struggle in college? Like, that's just so real. So a big part of Noble is honestly just so cool of the Lord. Because I remember when I was a freshman at TCU, I sat in Genesis 1 through 3 like crazy. And now launching the ministry that I have started, we sit in Genesis 1 through 3 for majority of our time. And here's why. Because in the very beginning, God said, hey, I created the sky, good, created the animals, good. But man, when I created you, you're very good. And I love that because in the very first chapter of the entire Bible, he wanted you to know that you are very good, and it's before you were even born. And then immediately after he declares you very good, he goes, I give you every food that you can see, and it's yours as a gift. But I don't know about you, I can so easily think food is good or bad, and I'm good when I eat a salad, but I'm bad when I eat pizza and have ice cream, so I relate my morality to food, right? And so in the very beginning of the Bible, we're literally saying, hey, food isn't what culture said it is. Hey, you're not just good when you do this, you're very good, and it's before you even did anything. And I think we're so quick to think, like, God will only love me if I measure up. God will only love me if I do these things. He goes, baby girl, I called you very good before you got to do anything. Like, you are very good. Your body is very good. Your personality is very good. Everything about you is very good. There is no flaw in you because I don't make mistakes. But when was the last time you looked in the mirror and you did not see mistakes? Y'all, I looked in the mirror this morning. I was like, okay, that could definitely change. But God's like, what are you? Like, I see perfection. And so then we walk into Genesis 3, and it is the most devastating book of the entire Bible because we see the enemy come into the story, and he goes, did God really say? And how many times do we think that? Did God really say that my body's okay? Did God really say that not partying is worth it? Like, did God really say? And we hear the same lies every single day on a college campus. Did God really say? Did God really say? And it's basically testing our faith and dependence on the Lord. And then, I love this, we see, boy, I don't love this. And then our world fell to sin from woman, food, and control. Like, why are we so shocked that we're struggling with this, y'all? Like, it's literally in the first three chapters of the Bible, and we're sitting here embarrassed, but we're also not talking about it. We're literally not talking about it because we're so used to it. It's so ingrained in our DNA that we struggle with body image and insecurity that we don't even confess it anymore. We aren't even having a conversation. We're just hiding. And then we see that they sin, and then they immediately cover up. But in the beginning, they're naked and unashamed. When was the last time you could ever say you were naked and unashamed? I don't know the last time I looked in the mirror and I was like, dang, that naked body, there's no shame in that thing. I'm like, holy crap, where is the towel I need to put my jammies on, right? But then here's my favorite thing in the entire world. We see that in the cool of the day, God was walking in the garden and he goes, who told you you were naked? In the same way, God, I believe this in my core. Who told you that you need to lose weight in order to be loved? Who told you that you need to look like this in order to be chosen? Who told you that weight loss is the solution? Who told you? Because I certainly didn't. And I never, ever will. And so I talked about this in the leadership meeting, and I believe this to my core. When we struggle with body image, it's because we've forgotten two things. Who God is and what he says about you. When we struggle with body, here's the thing. When you struggle with anything, if you struggle with anxiety, you struggle with singleness, you struggle with fear, you struggle with anger, it is because you have forgotten who God is and what he says about you. Because when you know who God is, when you struggle with body image, you're like, man, my God doesn't make mistakes. And if you know who you are, you're like, no, I'm a masterpiece. I'm the daughter of the Most High King. And the King of the universe, who can split the Red Sea in half, calls me his beloved. Then why do I care what this stupid douchebag frat daddy thinks of me?
Pray for
him. She went there.
Like, but for real. Like, my God can strike you dead and I care what you think? Like, ladies. But I'm saying that because I cared what that frat daddy totally thought of me. I was like, if he loves me, then I am worthy.
I've made it.
I have made it in life. But I'm like, no. Man, God literally looks at y'all, Ephesians 2:10, and says, you're my masterpiece. And that's not when you have a certain body. That's today. Do you actually realize that he looks at you the same, whether you're in church on a Sunday morning or you're in some stranger's bed if you're in Christ? Like, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. But here's the thing, you waking up in a stranger's bed breaks his heart. You waking up in a stranger's bed will never satisfy you. But I'm also not going to sit here and say, like, then go to church and everything's going to be perfect. Man, no, 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 you just need to remember who God is and who he says you are. Because that starts to change things. And I say that because I can confidently say at 31, I know who I am and I know who God is. And I can stand here confident in a body that's new to me, and I can stand here confident with a ring not on my finger, and I can stand here confident when I'm pretty sure the guy that I've been dating for the last few weeks is gonna end it on me tomorrow.
No, straight up.
He no, like straight up.
Texted her
no,
all
like
the way
straight
here.
Up. I was like,
this
he
is real life.
No, like I was like, you processed this weekend. I wasn't really sure about you either, but now I'm kind of wanting the final word, and I'm kind of pissed that you're gonna have the end with me. Yet, I'm like, you're God, and I'm not. And if it's not him, that means you have someone better. And I will not sit here and believe it's because I'm not pretty enough, I'm not skinny enough, I'm not worthy enough, because that is BS. My God doesn't make mistakes.
Or even if you don't have someone better, you have something better. Like, you have something for me that looks, that may look different than what I want. Which I know you were going to talk about disappointments.
Yeah, we can go there. Well, first of all, who needed to hear that tonight? I mean, she kind of popped off. Yeah. Man, I needed to hear that tonight. My best friend from Baylor is getting married at the end of May, and she sent me the bridesmaid's dress, and I got it in the mail. It was final sale, y'all. She's like, it's from ASOS, final sale, super sale, you got it. And I put it on, and I was like, this ain't it. And I had to tell her, I was like, Courtney, I need to buy a different dress because I feel terrible in what I'm wearing. And so this isn't like you graduate from college and your problems go away. It's like, hey, as we continue to surrender to God, we are transformed. And I think we can sometimes play the game of like, oh, this is just for 4 years, and then I'll get serious about it, and I'll go away. No, it's a continual lifelong journey in those things. And so, yeah, I would love to hear just from y'all. I mean, your stories are full of ups and downs, and you hit every kind of spectrum on every sort of topic. And so one thing I know to be true is like, man, there's just disappointment in life and disappointment in rejection. And so, like, how do we, like, navigate that faithfully and as followers of Jesus? Because it's going to come. And so how do we face that?
Man, I think one thing that even we were talking on the way up here, even in relation to guys or jobs, is that it's not often rejection. It's just removal. And so whether that be in a dating relationship, whether that be in a job you really want post-grad, like we often view rejection or disappointment and we put it on our identity. It's like, man, like I was rejected, therefore I am. Or I went through this disappointment, therefore this is who I am. But like, man, y'all, that's just not true. Like, we need to separate rejection and disappointment from our identity. You know what I'm saying? Like, you in a dress, it's like, okay. Like, we've all been there when we try something on and we don't like it and it doesn't fit. But that's not, doesn't mean that you're unworthy, unlovable, unbeautiful. It just means that you just need a different dress size. And there's no shame in that. And I think that when it comes to disappointment, what's really going to change is not you changing, but reminding yourself who is one in the disappointment with you and who is unchanging amidst other things changing in your life. Because if you think that God is only kind when you don't experience rejection and disappointment, you will hate God. You will. Because if you sit here and say, my God is only good when good things happen, you will be very disappointed in this life compared to going, my God is good amidst the disappointment. And when I cry, he cries. When I'm disappointed, he's disappointed, because this earth was never supposed to exist with disappointment. We were never supposed to take a ring off our fingers. We were never supposed to look in the mirror and be naked and ashamed. We were never supposed to get a dress and feel like, oh my gosh, I need a bigger size. We should have gotten a dress and been like, all right, whatever, move on. Like, here's the thing, is that this life is going to be full of disappointments. You are going to get your heart broken. You are going to get a text where you're like, yes, this man is ending it, and I can't do anything about it, but God. And if we forget the but God piece, we're going to miss it. But God loves me like crazy. But God is so wildly in control. But God is intentional in his timing. But God does not make mistakes. But God did something on the cross, which means I have a light at the end of the tunnel, that the pain that I'm experiencing today is so wildly temporary because this earth is not my home. The struggles that I am facing are a mist because I am here one minute and gone the next, that I will not focus on my rejection. I will not focus on my disappointments because God sent his son to die on the cross so that I can have a light at the end of the tunnel, that when these things happen, I know, all right, but God did something. Therefore, I will then, because I believe that he sent his son to die on the cross so that I can live, I know that I will one day go to heaven with the king of the universe, and I will never experience this ever again. This is momentary troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world, and I can, like, I love the song, The Goodness of God in This World, Land the Plane. It's like, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And I think that is what changes disappointment. That's what changes rejection, is like, you have been faithful till now. You will continue to be faithful tomorrow. Therefore, amidst the hard, I can confidently sing of the goodness of God. That's what I would say. I bet you probably have a lot more to say.
No, it's good. It's really good. I think we just have this expectation, and I know I did, is like life is going to be up and to the right. You know, you graduate, you get the ring, you get the dream job, you have the kids, or you move to New York, your best friend's there too. You just have these expectations that like this is how your life is going to go. And if you haven't experienced it yet, you will experience like, oh, it kind of goes like this. And you're like, this is just not the journey that I thought. You know, this is not what I expected. And God, where are you? And I think a lot of times, like, what we view as setbacks are really God's setups, where he's like, I'm bringing you into the valley to catapult you onto the mountaintop. You see one way up, and I'm like, girlfriend, like, I got something so much better for you. And by the way, when you're in the valley, you're going to see me more clearly. You're going to feel me more closely. You're going to learn how people can show up for you who are not friends, who are just like shallow. You're going to experience the depth of relationship. You're going to actually go to war with what you really think about me. And that's going to define how you handle the mountaintop. Like when I give you the gift, when I give you the blessing, when I catapult you into the next place, like if you hadn't gone through the disappointment, you couldn't really experience the joy of getting where you wanted to be or getting the gift. And it's not promised, but like a lot of times what you see as a setback is really God saying, just wait. I love to stack the cards against myself so that I can flex, so that you know this isn't you, this is me. and he cares so about good. It. I think on a lot of things too, we don't realize like we can straight up grieve our disappointments. Like we just think we have to be fine, and that means we have great faith and we're just so content and we just trust God and we just move on. And it's like, no, read the Psalms. Like that brother got on the floor and wailed in despair. And I think that is good and can honor God. Just being honest, like this hurts. Like it hurts that I didn't get that internship. It hurts that he didn't choose me. It hurts that he texted her. Like it hurts, Lord. And I don't understand this. And then moving to a place like, yet this I will call to mind. You are good. You have a plan for me. And you are removing something in my life that isn't for me. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. And so he's going to be constantly turning hearts towards you and away from you. And you don't have to get mad at those people or mad at the people who didn't choose you or whatever it is. Like, you can look at God and say, you're the one doing this because you ultimately turn hearts and you're doing something good.
That's so good. Yeah, I think as I've seen just dealing with disappointment in my own life and in the lives of others, there's usually two responses that we have to disappointment and two responses that we have to our emotions. One is to surrender and submit to our emotions, and one is to stuff them. And usually we fall on one end of that extreme of, hey, either I'm going to make my feelings my God and I'm going to be controlled and dominated and overwhelmed by this sadness and by this despair, or I'm going to pretend like I'm not even sad. Like, sad is a bad emotion and we're going to shove it over here and maybe it'll pop up again one day and maybe it won't. But usually we end somewhere on that spectrum. But Nika, I love what you just shared. But God, like, he enters into our pain with us, and that's not the end of the story. And so there is a rightful place to mourn and grieve our disappointment and our rejection and the things that didn't work out the way that we thought they might. And we get to turn to God because he's not done writing the story. And so, I mean, you guys are just chock full of wisdom. We could sit here all night. If there is just one thing left you could encourage these girls with and share to send them off, what would it be?
I think two things. I think one is, if it's not good, he's not done yet. If it's not good, he's not done yet. And I think the second thing is that when he removes, he replaces. And I remember hearing that. So I got engaged, called off the engagement, and then I dated another guy, and I was like, this is it. And then we ended up breaking up again. And I was like, God, like, what story are you writing here? And I remember driving in the car and I heard the Lord whisper, hey, when I remove, I replace. And that didn't mean another boyfriend. That didn't mean a better body. That didn't mean fame, money, and success. But it, for me, meant so much more of the Lord, which meant so much more joy. And it was so much better than getting what I thought I wanted. And so I really want you to hear loud and clear, if it's not good, he's not done yet. And if he removes, don't jump to God is cruel. Jump to he's doing more than I can possibly imagine. Because reality is, I say this, you'll hear this a million times if you've ever listened to our podcast, I say that the broken engagement was the foundation for the rest of my life. Like, I praise God for my broken engagement. And I said this at a retreat I hosted last weekend with a TCU ambassador team for Noble. And I said, I praise God for my eating disorder every day. And so I want to also say, if you're not at the praising place yet, start praying that you will be. Because God does not waste anything if you let him. He will use every single peace. And so in the moments where heart is coming, disappointment is coming, rejection is coming, I want that to be a sign to open up this book and go, who are you, God? Because this book is all about God's faithfulness to you to the point of death, to the point of going, you messed it up in Genesis 1-3, but God sent his son to die for you so that you have a light at the end of the tunnel, knowing that if it's not good, he's not done. And when he removes, he will always replace with better.
So good. So, so good. I think the thing that I want to say to you guys is, like, there is so much purpose, like, just waiting for you. And I just don't want you to miss it. Like, I don't want you to miss it. Every single one of you was created intentionally with gifts that you may not even know that you have. Business savvy that could really benefit the church, that could really help people who are struggling to figure out how to budget and actually manage money to eat, to feed their family. Creativity that's going to inspire somebody to stand up and say, I've been touched by the beauty of that art or that music or the way she used poetry or words, and now I want to live radically for Jesus. An ability to serve that makes people, that just sets places up for success. There's so many gifts here in this room. And you guys all have a part to play in the church. And do not sleep on it. Like, do not walk out of this room and spend your time chasing the attention, chasing the high of the party and the thrill, or chasing perfection. Because some of y'all are like, I don't party, but I'm trying so hard to get the grades, to please my parents, to get this, keep the scholarship, to get the dream job. And who am I trying to do all this for? And I'm striving myself into the ground, trying to be perfect. There is nothing that you can chase that will be more worthwhile than chasing Jesus. So make this your prayer. Psalm 27, verse 4, it says, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, not some, the thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. So one thing, when you're looking at God's perfection, you're not going to see all your imperfections. Unless you see them as a bridge to grace, a bridge to say, like, this is what qualifies me for the gospel, that I am so imperfect, that I am so desperate, that I am so needy, and there's a God who chose me. So do not miss your purpose. I wish I was sitting in rooms like this, hearing somebody say this to me instead of doing the things that I was doing when I was at Baylor. I missed out on a lot. Do not miss it.
Man, and that just reminds me of what you said earlier, like, why not you? Like, we're not up here because we have it all figured out. We're here because we just try to say yes to Jesus every day. And so that is just the charge to you guys. That is the opportunity. That's the invitation to you guys tonight is, like, why not you? Why can't it be you to say yes to Jesus every day? Because he's worth it for every reason that you guys shared tonight. And so will you guys just join me in thanking Laura and Nico for being here this evening. It was such a joy having you guys. And Laura, I mean, I would just love it if you could pray that over us, pray that for our campus, pray that for this room.
Yeah, I'd love to. God, we're humbled that you would choose us, Lord, that you would sit us in this room and remind us that you are a God who cares, who sees, who hasn't forgotten one single moment of our lives. Lord, thank you so much that you have a purpose for every girl sitting here, Lord, that you know her by name, that your thoughts for her, Lord, your scripture says that your thoughts for her are more than the grains of sand. Like, that's how many good thoughts that you have towards her. God, I pray that every girl in this room would embrace the gospel. God, I pray that every girl in this room would feel your presence in a way that says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened and heavy because of all the pressures you've felt from society. And all the fear that you have of being rejected or life not turning out the way that you wanted it to. Come to me. I love you. I have a plan for you. I have more for you than your wildest dreams. Your dreams are nothing compared to mine. God, I pray that she would come to you and hear that. Lord, that you would speak and remind these girls that your voice is not one of condemnation, that you're not looking at her thinking that she shouldn't have done what she did. That you're like, daughter, I'm here. Tell me everything. I'm going to run to you when you can't even run to me. God, I pray that every woman in this room would feel pursued. That you would light a fire in her to know that her life is worth it. That her days are worth it. And that those little choices of faithfulness add up to a lifetime of joy. A lifetime of impact. And God, I just ask boldly that you would break some people free tonight who are sitting there thinking, I can't say it. I can't say the one thing. God, I pray that you would give them the courage to say it, to confess, to find freedom. Lord, thank you for this space and this ministry. I pray that you would bless it, you would bless these girls, and that you would use them to change the world. And that it would start by them opening up their hearts to you and saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to go all in. I'm ready to give it up because you are worth it. And even if I don't see it, I know that you are. Show me, God, after I take the steps of faithfulness. And if there's anybody here tonight who hasn't given your life to Jesus, you can. Like now could be the time. Now could be the day that your new life starts, that you get an actual fresh start. Lamentations 3 says that God's mercies are new every single morning. Not just once, every single morning. It doesn't say that those who are in Christ are made a little bit better. It says they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And if you're sitting there like, I actually don't know this God. I don't know this Jesus. And if I die tonight, I'm actually not really sure where I would go. I invite you to pray this with me. Just where you are. God, I want to know you. Show yourself to me. I believe Jesus died and was raised to life again. And I'm ready. I'm ready to become a new creation. Save me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.